Good morning. Can you hear me? Well, I want to welcome you. It's so good to have you with us this morning. About half an hour ago, I walked over to Pastor and I said, my palms are already starting to sweat. He says, you having second thoughts? I said, can I? Nope. Yeah. And I don't know if this has happened to you, but I was working on this till 8:15 this morning, and I think that's kind of short, but, you know, I pray that God blesses you with his word this morning. Amen. So as I look around the room this morning, I wonder, what brought you to church? And I'm not just talking about this morning. What brought you to church? Was it out of an obligation to your parents? You know, just because it's what they did? Maybe it was the tugging of God on your heart for a period of time that you finally responded to. Or maybe it was in response to understanding what a significant thing that Father God and His Son Jesus Christ did in your life. And you're wanting to honor them with your worship and fellowship. In these examples, you see different levels of relationship with the Lord, from cold to lukewarm to on fire. And we know that there are those who know Jesus personally through relationship and those that know nothing about him. One thing remains the same. Is that Jesus has his arms out to all. And his invitation to come to him has always been there. Praise the Lord for his love. Praise the Lord for his love. Praise the Lord for his love. And never giving up on us. Whether we respond quickly to his call or whether we fought with him first. I know this. He pursues those that he loves. And it starts with him. Jesus loved us first. And I am so thankful. John 15, verse 16. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you. There should be a round of amens here. I was sitting down in the hall here one morning, and I was having a cup of coffee, and this was during the time that we were all in quarantine and the whole social distancing thing. Boy, were those crazy times. And it was pretty lonely, especially for single people. The only ones that I saw regularly was Debbie and Pastor and my brother and his family. And those times meant a lot. And I'll never forget them. Well, there was one particular morning that I was sitting by myself in the hall, and I felt the Lord began to minister to me with his love. And it was amazing, the amount of peace and warmth. And I heard him say, and it's kind of corny, he said, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And he started to count the ways of his love, which I'll share later. It was such a blessing, and the timing was perfect. And it reminded me that so many church people often don't reach out to God for his love. Maybe because they don't feel worthy. One thing is obvious. The world and people seem different since these COVID restrictions. I don't know, apprehensive maybe. And that's why I feel that the love of God needs to be reinforced, if not for any other reason, to let people know he still loves them. And hopefully to reignite the hearts of Christians everywhere. You know, not that I even need the confirmation, but yesterday I saw a post from Brother Fount Schultz, and it ended with this statement. We are on the verge of people of the world being ready to receive the true gospel of God's love and care. Preach it. I said, okay. Not that I needed that, but it's always good to get that confirmation. And that's why you need to know this morning. The Lord is waiting for you to reach out to him. And when we understand the love of God and his Son Jesus Christ for all people, Jew and Gentile, then we are left with no excuse as to why our relationship isn't what it should be. You are loved. The desire for close relationship is there. You just have to close the gap. And I say you because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:6, he never leaves us. I don't need to hear that any more than once. I know he never. He never. God has something for you this morning, just like he does every day. His name is Jesus Christ. And if we take a look at all the things that Jesus did for us as a people, and then what he did for us personally, we can then have a greater appreciation of his love than we could ever have imagined. And for the time he spent on this earth and all that he accomplished, especially in those 3 short years of his full-time ministry. The more revelation that we receive of what Jesus has done, the more thankful we become. I believe that the more thankful we become, the more revelation God allows us to have of all that Jesus has done for us, and the closer we get to him. I confess to you this morning that Jesus is the Son of God. That's important, church, because in 1 John 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Sounds pretty important. What is your confession this morning? In a past message that my brother preached, it was about a lack of passion for the Lord in our relationship. What God was speaking to me during his message was a lack of passion in our church attendance. That too was important. And it's all over the place. Few churches have recovered from these COVID lockdowns. Why is that? There have been those who faithfully attended through the worst of COVID, and maybe if they were able to give their opinion, you know, hopefully they didn't come out of some legalistic obligation, but because they have a love for the Lord and they value fellowship and also their freedom to do whatever they felt comfortable to do. Now I want to share the ways that the Lord shows his love. This is what he showed me that morning, the way he counts his love for us. And we all know this, but this stuff is good to hear over and over and over again. Because of the love of Jesus, we can be thankful that we have salvation. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How many of us would agree? We were lost. Amen. Hebrews 7:25. This is what it says in the NIV. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus was sent to us by God to show us the power of Almighty God and the power of faith and prayer and how we should live. Because of the love of Jesus, we can be thankful that we have forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to each other, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. Think about this. Think about this. Because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Amen? I love the wisdom of Proverbs 17:9, and the New Living Translation says it like this. It says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Isn't that true? Now, I have to admit, you know, forgiveness is something that I'm still learning about and more important, you know, and every day how more important it is. And I even hope that I'm getting better at saying I'm sorry. Christ forgives and is the example for us. Because of the love of Jesus, we are never left without support. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth so that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. I am not ashamed to say that I love the Lord, and I tell him, I love you, Jesus. Amen. Psalm 16, verse 5 says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. This is my testimony. And because of the love of Jesus, we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. This can be comforting, especially for single people, but we all need to know that He is with us. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That means he's a brother who will stay with you no matter how bad things get. Proverbs 18:24 says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Church, we have that in Jesus. Many Christians are looking for Jesus. Where can he be found? We can find him in the miracle signs and wonders. All the things that Jesus did, from turning water into wine at a wedding in John chapter 2 to his resurrection in John chapter 20, were not done for the ones who believed in him already, to have some kind of confirmation of who he was and is, but for those who didn't believe, so they could see the power of Almighty God in heaven here on earth. Matthew 9:13, the New King James Version says it like this. Jesus said, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Church, we know Jesus was a great example and just shows us how we see the power of God move. And there's another important thing. Every single one of those things that Jesus did, he gave thanks and credit to his Father first. We see Jesus in the healing. Our healing can be a visible testimony that reaches out to the unbelieving world, the doctors, our family, others going through the same thing. But when you are healed, and you truly understand what Scripture says about that, Isaiah 53:5, by my wounds we are healed. Then the power of God's word becomes alive, and it brings life to those who receive those words, so saith Proverbs 4. Think verse 22. We find Jesus in the patience. And I know there's so many more ways that we can find Jesus, but these were the ones that I put in mainly for time's sake. But I believe that this is important. We find him in the patience. So I was on fire the first 4 years of my salvation when I was 13. Then some things happened in my life that I couldn't understand. You know, I was under very heavy attack, and it caused me to drift from God. I was blaming God for it. And I felt the tugging of God in my heart for years. I just ignored it until I couldn't ignore it any longer because of his patience. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Do you have a testimony of the patience and the love that God has shown you? My life has changed because of it. So knowing what Jesus did, what he does in a life, those great things that he did for all mankind, it becomes personal when and how he does it for us. He does those things because he loves us. And those things that he does can actually have some effect in our life. And when they do, then we can honestly say they've changed us in so many ways. I call that making the connection to Jesus. We cannot make that connection in our head, although it does start there as revelation, but the connection needs to be made in our hearts. That's when it's truly, truly life-changing. And all the things that God has done and still does through Jesus Christ, there's a purpose to it all. And I think of the story of Paul, or Saul at the time, in Acts 9. On his way to Damascus, a man whose heart was so wickedly sinful toward the Lord and his people. In fact, his purpose for going to Damascus was to find those who walked in the faith of Jesus, Christians, and bring them back, bound in chains, to Jerusalem to be persecuted. But Jesus and his love for Saul. That's right, his love for Saul, regardless of the present condition of his heart. He came to Saul in Acts 9 in the form of a flash of light that surrounded him. He fell to the ground. Then he heard the voice of the Lord. And depending on what version of the Bible you read, it says that Saul eventually asked the question that I believe we should all ask at some point in this life. I consider this the most important part of this morning. Saul, he asked, what do you desire me to do? His transformation wasn't something that took place in his head. Saul had a major change of heart. And he became a very powerful ally for the kingdom of God. And I believe during those 3 days after his encounter with the Lord, while Saul was blind and fasting, that the Lord was ministering to his heart. He certainly had Saul's attention. And by verse 20 in Acts, he was now preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. Now remember the importance of that and how it relates to God's love. In those first 20 verses, Saul made the connection to the Lord, a connection we all need to make or make again. I can say that Paul only needed 3 days of life shut down for him to react as he was supposed to. Church, God gave us over a year of life shut down during COVID. And churches were under attack. And I believe the Lord was sending lukewarm Christians a wake-up call. And if you're the type of person that likes to wait till the last minute, this isn't one of those times. The health leaders of this country were saying protest is good, church is bad. And I don't believe that we've seen all of this, the end of all of this. I believe that they're just looking for the next opportunity. We need to be prepared. What will be our stand? Romans tells us in Romans 8, verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Or will it be one of fear? We need to get closer to God who loves us now. Saul used that time to God's glory and he was never the same again. Even his name was forever changed. He had a new identity. In Acts 13:9, it was the first time in Scripture he was called Paul, no longer Saul. And then that name stayed with him for the rest of his life because the change in him lasted the rest of his life. When we make the connection to all that Jesus has done for us, who we are because of his love, and it happens in our heart, it shows. People can see it because we are never the same. And I remember early on in my walk when I read the scripture in Acts 9, I remember hearing a cry deep inside me. And it was saying, I am so desperate for a conversion like Paul, Lord. And I heard him lovingly say back to me, as far as I'm concerned, you already have. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were changed. You have a new identity. I no longer see you as the man that you were. Your name hasn't changed, but your heart has, and that's what I look at, says God in 1 Samuel 16:7. You see the last sentence. It's the heart is what he sees. Thank God that deep calls to deep, because I was healed of that issue right then. And I felt changed. No longer looking in the rearview mirror at who I was, except to learn from it. The same thing goes for every single born-again believer in here today. Because of God's love, we have favor. Psalm 90, verse 17 in the Living Bible says, let the Lord our God favor us and give us success. Amen. I'm going to come to a close. I'm saying this to everyone here, but also for those that are watching on our live feed. If you don't have a deep personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, you need to know. He is reaching out to you this morning. Would you be willing to give your life to him and change the course of your life forever? 2 Corinthians 5:17, and this is what it says in the Amplified Version. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, new things have come. People who play golf, we call that a mulligan, a do-over, a fresh start. God is so good to offer that to us because we don't deserve it. And who doesn't want a fresh start? Only his love and the love of his son can wipe our slate clean. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. In the NIV it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. So is your relationship with the Lord cold, lukewarm, or is it on fire? That's at the heart of what God is trying to get to this morning. I pray that you take the question to him this morning. What do you desire me to do, Lord? And for those who are watching, if you're not attending a good Bible-based, Holy Spirit-filled church, find one. If you happen to be in the West Boylston area, we will welcome you. We love to have fellowship here because we believe what the Word of God says about it. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction. That means in person. God made us for fellowship. Don't let the love that the Lord has for you be like a one-way street. He doesn't have to prove anything to me. But will you give him the chance to prove himself to you? I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Because Romans 10, verse 11, in the Amplified says, for the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed in his expectations. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. There's nothing that holds a candle to the love of Jesus Christ. You know, I was totally lost. It's been 44 years, and I'm still finding out how much he loves me. I'm amazed. You know, as you were sharing, Joe, I was hearing Rita Springer, "Oh, How He Loves Me." I love that song. My life was in the gutter, and he rescued me, and he continues to do it, because I continue to stray. If left to my own devices, disaster awaits. So just renew your love with him. I know that something in this message spoke to you, for sure. And just commit to a deeper appreciation of exploring how much he really loves you. That's life, and life more abundantly. Amen.
We're not done. Okay, so I want to take this time to acknowledge and honor Pastor Mac. This is his 15th year anniversary of being pastor here, and we want to celebrate that today. Catherine has some slides that go back to when he was installed as pastor, so let's honor the servant for his faithfulness. Amen?
Thank you all. So, the number 15 in the Bible represents rest, so I'll be leaving for 2 months of rest, starting tomorrow. Only kidding. So let's enjoy one another. Please consider coming down. Don't rush out of here. Coming down.